In the name of Jesus. Amen. Dear baptized saints, you are washed. You are sanctified, made holy. By the institution of Jesus in Matthew 28, you are gifted the triune name and have the privilege to be a lifelong disciple of Jesus, a lover of the Word made flesh. By the promise in Mark 16, you are gifted salvation itself. By the word of Jesus to Nicodemus in John 3, you are reborn from above to be able to see and enter the kingdom of heaven. By the washing of water and the Spirit, you are cleansed pure. By the washing of that word in the waters of baptism, and as Peter puts it plainly, baptism now saves you. This is yours to receive and claim as your own by faith. But there will be temptations to come. There have been temptations ever since you were baptized, and there will be until the time the Lord blesses you with the taking away of your breath on this side of eternity and carrying you by the angels to be with Abraham and Jesus and the whole company of heaven. But we don't look to the strength of our faith for this assurance to carry us through these temptations. No, we look to the objective reality of the cross, our baptism, the Lord's Supper, the preached word. These gifts of God that are outside of us to strengthen that faith on the inside, that we hold fast and thus receive the reward of Lazarus. And truly, truly, I say to you, these two men in our gospel reading, the rich man and Lazarus, they stand in for the entirety of sheep who will be judged righteous on the last day, versus the entirety of the goats who will be judged guilty on the last day. And consider how the rich man, he may well be baptized. That is, he may also therefore check the Christian box on the survey, but he took that priceless treasure, kept it hidden away in his drawer next to all of his other riches stored away, and didn't put it to good use. But Lazarus, he remembered and would have worn that baptismal garment, and quite frankly would be the only thing to get him through such a hard, miserable life. Our gospel, it may be a parable that Jesus made up. He gives us many parables. Or it may be a real story of two real men that Jesus in his divinity knew about and can tell us the part that no man can see. Again, that other side of death. Nevertheless, it is one of the most important stories in all the scriptures, helping us especially understand heaven and hell better than nearly any other text. But for our purposes, let's hone in especially on the differences between these two men and their relationship to us. In this world, our impulse desire is to be like this rich man. And we don't want to be like Lazarus. And I really don't need to persuade you of this. We just look around us that nearly every decision we make with our time is often based how much will it help our financial bottom line. We work night and day to try to become more like this rich man and less like ever becoming like Lazarus. And Jesus gives us a surprise in this text. And the surprise is this, that even before death, Lazarus was blessed and the rich man cursed. Before their death, these two men seem at first to be perhaps morally neutral. And, you know, things have gone well for the rich man, poorly for Lazarus, and that's part of life. Life hits each person differently. some endowed with more wealth and health than others. It may not be due to any particular weakness of the poor or any particular strength of the rich. It just happens. God gives more to some and less to others. And we rejoice that he's pleased to give anything to any of us. But whereas they may seem to be morally neutral, it's after the death of these two men that their hearts are exposed and the true blessedness of Lazarus shines forth. Now the rich man, he had it made, as we Americans would figure, feasting luxuriously every day. He had everything you could ever want. You can just imagine the first century mansion that this man would have lived in. A closet full of the finest clothing, many servants tending to his every desire. His friends and brothers probably clamored to do favors for him just so that they could have a seat at that table. But Lazarus, he had nothing to offer the rich man. So the rich man, following his unbelieving heart, had nothing to give Lazarus. Lazarus didn't even have the strength to do any favors for this rich man, to gain even a crumb to fall from that rich man's table. He was laid at the gate with his many sores. So the rich man, he is able to sit back, relax, eat, drink, and be merry. But Lazarus was destitute. Only comfort he had would be a pack of dogs to lick his sores. In your imagination, you can even smell the difference. You can smell the rich, lavish perfume of the rich man's house. You can smell the roasting meat with all the spices from the kitchen on the spread-out dining table. Compare that to Lazarus, who probably smelled like death itself. But things change when they die. At least the outer circumstances change, but again, on the inside, their hearts actually stay the same. In their heart, Lazarus started off blessed and the rich man started off cursed. They died, they stayed the same. Nevertheless, they go their different ways. Lazarus to heaven, the rich man to hell. They both were always going to die, but Lazarus, he saw it coming. Being reminded of that fact every day by his sores that kept getting worse and worse. But the rich man truly never saw it coming. We see this in the conversation that he believed there was no warning about death and hell. Lazarus is exalted, the rich man sent down to torment. Instead of Lazarus laid at the gate of the rich man, this rich man now laid at the gate of Hades. Instead of Lazarus yearning to have even a crumb from the rich man's table, now the rich man yearned for even just a drop of water on the tongue. This contrast is real and it's stark. But there is one word that describes the rich man in hell that never described Lazarus on earth. The rich man was in torment or anguish. Sure, if we're looking at Lazarus laid with his sores, that's how we might describe him, as one in torment and anguish. But the text never says that Lazarus himself was in this torment. And that is where we see that true difference between the blessedness of Lazarus and the accursedness of the rich man even before they died. That even while poor and hungry and aching with his sores, Lazarus was comforted by God. And the rich man, just like every hardened rich man, could never get enough money to comfort him, but would spend all his life trying. Now we want to hear this story correctly, that Jesus is not saying that simply having riches is evil and that poverty is good. No, Jesus is contrasting two different kinds of riches. The riches of the rich man with his nice home, fancy food, these are the riches of the world that he trusted in. but Lazarus had the riches of Moses and the prophets. Lazarus had the riches of the word and the promises of God. Lazarus had the assurance from God's own mouth that his sins were forgiven, that his lowly state was not the result of being in a wrong relationship with God. He was comforted, truly had it all, had it made, for he had the power of God for salvation and thus the power to endure with hope. The rich man, he had incredible treasury, gold and silver. But Lazarus, in the midst of the sores and the dogs and his hunger, he feasted on the scriptures. After all, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He built up for himself a storehouse of the treasures of heaven, where moths don't eat and thieves can't break in and steal. Lazarus, even while poor, possessed the kingdom of heaven. Seek first, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven, and everything needful in life will be added to you. Thus, Lazarus is blessed even before death by binding unto himself that strong name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, carrying him through, never leaving him, never forsaking him. While the rich man, he worshipped the food, the wealth, which were unable to save him from the fires of wrath. The rich man had everything in this world, in this life, everything but Jesus. And Lazarus, he had nothing but Jesus. The rich man in death lost everything, and Lazarus kept Jesus. Or rather, you might say, Jesus kept Lazarus through death to life everlasting. This rich man, he may have cared about his brothers in some sense, but it was a false care. For if you only love those who love you, what reward do you have? Don't even the worst sinners love those who love them? Yea, for a good person, one would even dare to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, while we were still wallowing in the shame of the messes that we make of our lives, Christ died for us. While we were still sick with every kind of misery laid up, at the right time, Christ died for we, the ungodly. The sufferings of this present world are not worth comparing to the glory to come. And while you patiently suffer in this present world, in Christ, you are blessed. Having been justified by Christ's blood, much more shall you be saved by him from the wrath to come. So, no, even before being carried by the angels, Lazarus was not in torment. He was blessed. He fit his name, which means God is my helper. And help God did. For Lazarus, and so God helps you. For you who are baptized and believe, look not at what you have in this world, for even if you have in this life as little as Lazarus, this is what matters. That Christ is your treasure. He is your life. He is your joy. He is your comfort, your peace, and your hope. Jesus, dear saints, is your Savior. In his name, amen.